Yo, Eagles Nation, stand up. Yo, how'd Barkley put it? Looking like another grease pole night in Philly.
Facts.
One day down, two still left to go as it pertains to draft weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in, come one, come all, to episode 52. The Super Bowl edition, I guess you could call it, of the Grease Pole Podcast. Appreciate you taking part. Every episode is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. New episodes drop each and every Monday. Special Friday episode is what you are listening to right now. Appreciate you taking part. You can follow the pod on IG at Grease Pole Podcast. Appreciate you checking off the to-do list for me. Pretty much the one guy your boy didn't want last night is who we come away with. Funny how that works out. Hey, Eagles fans are happy this morning, though, man, which is I am happy for those that are happy. I'm not even that mad about it anymore. There's some Jameson at the house that helped me cope when the pick was announced last night. So it's all good. It's all good. We're here. We're a better team regardless at the end of the day, right? So there's that. Absolutely love draft night, though, man. And, you know, it's funny because starting off and going back to two episodes ago, episode 50, when we did the collaborative mock draft and we kind of began with, well, are you an ESPN draft coverage or an NFL Network draft coverage guy? And this was another buddy of mine, shout out to my guy Will, texted me last night and was like, you watch an NFL Network or ESPN? And I'm typically an ESPN guy because Kuiper and McShay. And had it on ESPN last night, as you know, the evening's kind of approaching that time. And I saw Mike Greenberg up there, and I immediately recoiled. I was just like, oh, gross. I don't want to watch ESPN now if they're going to keep this fucking guy up there, because I cannot stand Mike Greenberg. And I'm not anti-ESPN, dude, okay? I'm not that guy. I'm also not super pro-ESPN, dude. I don't really care, but I like these 3 days of Kuiper and McShay typically. And I love Lewis Riddick, who was up there. But I cannot stand Mike Greenberg, and ESPN has gotten rid of a lot of people that I enjoy listening to in favor of Mike Greenberg, because I guess that's what they want. They want, you know, Mickey Mouse wants just Mike Greenberg out there forever now. And he always reminds me of like a caricature of like the way a news anchor like thinks he should be 101. You know what I mean? I can't stand the guy. He brings nothing to the table for me. Zero personality. I just do not care for the dude. So that made me flip over for the first time. Okay, I'm going to go to NFL Network, which, you know, I dig Rich Eisen, love him. David Shaw, Stanford's head coach, was just kind of there hanging out. They didn't really give him a lot of opportunities. But he was kind of there like the spare prick at the wedding, you know, because Charles Davis, another guy who I fucking hate, just smiley all the time, judgy, thinks he's better than you. You know, I do not care for that dude either. He's up there, and any opportunity he's got to speak, he's jumping on that shit, right? He's enjoying the music with the crowd and everything at Cleveland. And shout out to Cleveland. It was great to see human beings at the draft last night. You know, no Goodell basement. No sleepy commish as the mid-20 picks approached. It was cool to see people at a sporting event again, even if it was the draft. Absolutely loved it. It added to the atmosphere. It was awesome. Not to be punny, but Cleveland rocked. The thing I could do without, though, was, it was like they were going for like FM classic rock station draft. And it took me till about the late teens to figure out, hey, why are we doing the Stones and, you know, like classic rock band? Why are we doing this? Like old white dude Moose Lodge karaoke. Why are we doing this for every pick? And then I realized, oh, yeah, Cleveland, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now it makes sense. So that was a little bizarre. It kind of got in the way. Sweet Caroline, white people never miss an opportunity to go bump, bump, bum. That white people love that shit. So it very, very, very Elk Lodge friendly draft last night in terms of the soundtrack. So, but it was great to see people back there.
Hate to interrupt.
Yes, please do. No, go ahead.
Sweet Caroline. It'll change your life if instead of going bomp, 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 yell, suck my balls. It'll change your life.
I'm going to do that next time I'm in a crowd of people. Dude, there's certain songs that white people, like if we're doing a top 10 songs that get white people, like they love, that's up there for sure. I think Don't Stop Believing, obviously. Every white girl in a cowboy hat in a karaoke bar, you know?
Does the white girl?
Yeah, dude.
Audio pod.
Just a small town girl. Yeah. Like, shut up, honey. You're not that cute. And you don't sound like Steve Perry either.
Steve Perry.
You know? I'm guilty of geeking out over this one. Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard.
We all know where I
that, am on that one. You're not super fond of that one. We're on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to Pour Some Sugar. There's a Deprogrammed episode, kids. Follow Deprogrammed. It's Justin's music pod. Great listen, by the way. There's a Def Leppard episode. And I have never seen you that worked up. Yes. I was like, yo, I'm just going to lay out here and stop defending this song because my man's upset. But I get it.
It was a lot. It was a lot that day. So it happened.
A lot of factors.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, no, there was, it would, I Can't Get No Satisfaction was a song that played last night when a team came out, which was funny. I can't remember the team. I want to say it may have been the Giants, but it's like, it's probably not the song you want to hear when your team's on the clock, you know?
I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Yeah, you're right.
Right. You know? You should have played that 10 picks ago and the Birds were on the clock, you know? At least for me. Everybody loves Howie again, though. Howie with the old baby face turn.
Good for him.
Good. Hey, man, you know?
He's no Sirianni.
No, he is so not. But Sirianni came away from last night happy, which we were talking before, you know, coming on. A happy Sirianni makes a happy me. The fact that he is jazzed up for Tumbleweed makes me happy. I was like, okay, it's like I'm like a proud papa, you know?
Oh, look at him.
Yeah, he's happy. Seeing him happy. He's like my pet, you know? Come here, little buddy, you know? He's thrilled. Let's give him some treats. Like, I'm just thrilled. I was like, as I'm watching the presser, I'm like, maybe.
All the malice.
Maybe I was wrong here. Maybe I was wrong. Because he's so thrilled. How can you be mad at a happy Nick Sirianni?
It's true.
And he killed the presser, dude.
And you know what this means, though?
What?
Tumbleweed must have been good at rock, paper, scissors.
Dude, the best. He had to have been.
Clearly.
They moved up for this motherfucker. So he had to talk trash. He had to do all of it, you know? I don't want to just beat you at rock, paper, scissors. I want to beat you at... What's another kid's game?
Chinese checkers.
There you go. I was going to say, I'm having trouble thinking of them because I'm 33. But you know who's got them on speed dial? Our guy.
Of course he does.
Oh, you want to know all the kids' games? I got you. And you better talk trash to me, too.
Connect Four on Zoom. Good luck.
Dude, Connect Four was a go-to on the blanket back in the day for your boy. I'm mad I didn't think of that. Battleship was fun.
Battleship can get heated, though.
It can. I think that, yeah. Battleship's dark. So is Monopoly.
Oh, Battleship. Or
but
Monopoly's the worst.
It is. I don't, like, Monopoly, I don't think you can fully appreciate when you're, like, our kids' age, though. Like, playing Monopoly now, I love it. But Monopoly, You can't do Monopoly when, like, you have an hour to kill. Like, you need to have time.
You need to have, like, either be willing to take breaks.
Yes.
And come back to the game later.
Right. Or be locked in for 8 hours.
Easily.
You know?
And that's if you don't have stubborn people playing.
Right.
God forbid.
Yeah.
You have somebody who's just not willing to lay down.
Right, dude. I know. It's like, okay.
That's me. I'm like, all right, enough. An hour in. I'm like, I'm done.
I'm sick of this. There's always, you can see the momentum building in a game of Monopoly, too. That's what makes it worse, and it makes it terrible when you're the one out there mortgaging your assets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm not. This is like, it gets you.
Nowhere.
Yeah. It's dark, man. It gets you in your feelers. Like, okay. You know, how am I going to get through life?
I'm lucky to land on Baltic.
Right. Right.
Old boy's got a hotel on Boardwalk.
Yeah, dude.
That I'm landing on every time.
Every time, dude. Every time you're going to roll the exact amount to land there. Every single time.
Come on.
Right. Like, it sucks, dude. It's the worst. Do you remember, though, side note, McDonald's Monopoly?
Oh, yeah.
That.
It was the best, but it was also simultaneously the worst because the amount of McDonald's I ate.
Dude, so many hash browns, man.
And did not win.
Not a thing. Not a thing. But you felt good, though, when you peeled off the thing that was like you get a free breakfast sandwich. Uh-huh. Like, cool, next time, at least I get a free shot.
Yes.
You know?
The worst was you'd always get like two of the yellows or two of the greens. You're like, dude, I just need one more.
Every time, man. And they'd give you the map. And like, mm-hmm. that was fun, dude. Although I'm convinced like all those binging of hash browns is part of the reason why your boy's on the Husky side these days, because there was a lot. And it was always around like October.
Yep.
When the weather broke and you're like, oh, man, like throw a hoodie on. You know,
can't get out there and sweat just by being.
That's it, man. You know, I'm going to just go get four hash browns. McDonald's hash browns are the best.
I can't argue. I'm always going to have a soft spot for bow rounds.
Yeah, dude.
But if you're going just straight hash browns, like the big round chunk of potato.
The patty, dude.
It's McDonald's breakfast. As far as fast food breakfasts go, and if I want to leave out, I'm going to leave out Bojangles because I feel like that's top tier.
Oh, for sure. And Bobo's gives it to you all day.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just game changer.
Biscuit, and it's, dry, but it's delicious.
It is. You need to have a drink handy with a Bobo's biscuit, for sure.
God forbid it's not a tea from Bojangles, but.
Right.
Like, but yeah, McDonald's is. It gets a lot of flack because it's McDonald's.
Of course.
But it's also McDonald's. Like, it's...
It is. They're McDonald's for a reason. I cannot stand people that look down their nose at McDonald's. Because there's a lot of people that do that. Oh, they're beneath me. Fuck you. You know what you're going to do? you're gonna eat there, too, and you're going to like it, motherfucker.
Yep.
Like, especially late night, you've had a few.
Man.
I mean, I would argue nothing hits better in that moment than Taco Bell.
That's the one. Taco Bell is one.
Yes.
And then McDonald's might be a two.
McDonald's is up there.
Also, highly underrated for the fact of you're out there working. You got $5.
That's it.
Go get some lunch from McDonald's.
Yeah,
that
dude.
That $5 goes much farther at McDonald's than almost anywhere else.
So far, you get value there. So. They're there for you. Stop acting like you're too good for them.
Uh-huh.
You know, the other one that hits really well too, if you've had a few sodas and you're in the mood. I mean, this is local here, regionally. Cookout, dude.
Mm.
That's the first time. I mean, I've told the story of New Year's Eve in Richmond. The first time I had Cookout when I was probably a shot away from alcohol poisoning, and it's a game changer, dude. I'm thrilled that we have a Cookout here now.
You know what's funny is. I chimed in to say, suck my balls, and here we are.
We're talking food, man.
Five minutes later.
Mickey D's hash browns.
I should probably stop interrupting.
No, it's all good. I'm glad you did, because now, like, as we're going through this, I'm deciding in my head what I'm going to eat for lunch today.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm pretty sure now I've settled on Cookout.
I also want to add key lime pie.
Yes. The streak is alive, kids. The streak is alive. And key lime gear, because anything else... is better than this Midnight Green bullshit. We're tired of it. Although the Midnight Greens themselves are good, but the white on whites. Dude, yeah.
It's just tired.
It's fatigue. Fatigue. Let's move on. It's not the Super Bowl era anymore. Everyone's acknowledging we're in a rebuild.
Perfect time for it. Especially rebuild if you're saying Hurts is your guy.
Dude, right. Which is effectively what, I mean, it, I don't know. You never know with Howie.
Yes.
You never know with Howie.
Because Crybaby 11 was the guy, too.
So. He was, just less than a year ago, you know? Oh. Well, and then they took Hurts, and it was like, oh, my man, just Carson wants no parts of the competition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm going to tweet this thing at you the night you get drafted. Like, hey, welcome, man. Let's get to work. I'm going to run, though, the moment. First chance I get, I'm out of here to Indianapolis. To the coach.
Of all places.
To the coach that I like. I like Frank Reich. He's nice to me. Fucking dick.
Oh.
Fuck.
I took this another direction.
No, you're good.
I was about to duck out.
Well, I hope the Carson Wentz take didn't work out in my favor. And I hope I'm wrong on this one, too, because we walk away from last night's draft with Devontae Smith. And, you know, it's funny because the guy I wanted goes 8 to Carolina. And I don't think a lot of people saw J.C. Horn going there. I thought this would probably be the Devontae Smith pick the way the board had shaken out. But, you know, J.C. Horn goes 8 to Carolina. I swear. Like, fuck. And, you know, that kind of seemed like it was what the board had gone kind of chalk up until that point. I think Penei Sewell going to Detroit was a little bit of a, you know, but it, great pick by Detroit. I just feel bad for Sewell, who was one of my favorite players in this draft, because Detroit's where careers go to die. But, you know, Horn goes 8 to Carolina, and things kind of seem to get a little weird from there. Denver goes Pat Surtain at 9. So Dallas, like, it's hilarious watching Dallas kind of scramble, right? Like, they're running the clock down a little bit, and you're going, okay, because you knew they wanted – that was their – the guys they wanted went 8 and 9 right ahead of them. So now Dallas is sitting there going, well, shit. And, you know, lo and behold, at the end of the day, the trade graphic flashes, and then you see the Eagle up there, and you're like, oh, Christ almighty, we moved up. We moved up, and we traded with Dallas. Why are we suddenly growing fond of making deals with the Antichrist? What the hell is this? So we give up a third rounder, 84th overall pick. This was a Wentz pick. This is the Colts' third rounder that we got in the Carson Wentz trade, right, to move up to 10 and take Devontae Smith and reunite him with Jalen Hurts. And, you know, I'll say this. If Devontae Smith is your guy, which I had a feeling all along that he's very much somebody that was in play for the Birds the entire time, right? You can effectively move up to get him. I'm not too thrilled that we gave up one of the two third rounders, if I'm being honest. I was looking forward to 3 picks tonight. So I would have tried to maybe, I don't know. Maybe Howie did try to go 4 and they insisted, you know, they wanted a 3. Who knows? But I think at the end of the day, it is a small fee to pay to move up and ensure ahead of the Giants, you know, because you would have thought, okay, Devontae Smith is very much in play for Dave Gettleman at 11. So if you want to give up a pick that you didn't even come into this draft with as your own necessarily to leapfrog and ensure that you get the guy that you want, home run by Howie. Hats off. It may not have been the guy that I wanted, but hell of a move. Hell of a move. I will give him that. And, you know, I'll say this about Devontae Smith, man. I've said here before on the pod, he was the guy that every Eagles fan seemed like they wanted. I was the outlier. I don't know any other Eagles fan that said, no, I'm really not that thrilled about this dude if we take him. You know, he seems like a great, like a humble dude, man. I mean, he's all about football, no distractions, no bullshit. I like that. I like that about Devontae Smith. I do. And again, at the end of the day, the tape doesn't lie. Tape don't lie. Best route runner in the draft, wins on all 3 levels. He can high point the ball. I'm not denying Buddy's skill. I'm not. And I'm not going to beat this over the head because we've said it before, but he's 166 pounds. That's fucking dust in the wind. That's tumbleweed. You know, I don't see that holding up over 8 to 10 years. And I just think if you take a guy that high, now especially he's a top 10 pick, you want him ideally to be he's a piece for the next 5 to 7 years, hopefully 8 to 10. Right? That's what you want. And I just have questions, not about this guy's talent. It's never been about his talent. If you've listened to the pod, it never has been. It's just been about the durability of, okay, can this hold up at the NFL level, 166 pounds? You know, so I'll say this. At the end of the day, trying to work through a bug in the throat. That's why the delays. That's why I'm filibustering. You hear the ice in the background. I'm sipping Starbucks to try and suppress it. Tape doesn't lie. Dude's got all the talent in the world. That frame, though, worries me. Dude looks small in his pads, okay? And I just wonder, like, he posted today a picture I actually saw on the way over here. He posted a picture of himself at a Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, which if you do not know what it is, I believe it's a regional thing. I guess they have them in Cleveland as well. They've also got one in Norfolk here close to where I work. They're fucking phenomenal. If you've never had a Raising Cane's and you're close to one, immediately go out of your way and get them, because what a delight Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers is. Everybody should experience it. The cane sauce. People will swear by Chick-fil-A sauce. Get that shit out of here. Give me cane sauce all day, every day. I would bathe in that shit, and I'm sure that's a visual you did not want, but now you have it. You're stuck with it. There you go. Which is good. It's encouraging to see him eating chicken fingers and fries and toast. Please do that, Devontae Smith. Add you some pounds on. While you're at it, once you get to the 215, get you some DeLisandro's. You know what I mean? Stop. John's Roast Pork. The whole nine. Load up. Please. Cheesesteak Happy. Load up, man. Italian Jobs. The whole nine. Get it all. Put your little weight on. Hit that weight room. I love this guy's... mentally, he seems to be awesome, man. He seems to be awesome. And I'm a guy that believes in that mental, that type of shit matters every bit as much as the talent does. I believe that 100%. I hope that I'm wrong on him being able to hold up. I really do. I really do. And at the end of the day, because this is the guy that everybody wanted, you know what I mean? So I will sit here, and if I'm wrong, which I hope I am, I'll own it. I'll own it. Again, love the dude's talent. I just hope to God he's able to hold up. I really do. And at the end of the day, you know, if I'm wrong, it's very simple. Right? Remember Uncle Les? Les Bowen? Okay? I'll hit you with the same response that that he hit our guy Sirianni with the rock, paper, scissors. Okay? If he's wrong or if I'm wrong, you know what I'm going to tell you? I hope I am wrong. I hope I am wrong.
That would be great.
There you go. Right? At the end of the day, it would be great if I'm wrong. I hope I am, you know? So, you know, I'll say this. Everybody that wanted Justin Jefferson last year, I know you were pissed with Jalen Reagor, but you got who you wanted this year. You got who you wanted this year. So happy, happy, right? Howie Roseman with the babyface turn. He's not a heel anymore. We love him. You guys were chanting fire Howie at Philly's game a couple weeks ago. You feel bad now because he got you your guy that hadn't suited up yet and taken a single snap? You like Howie still? You like him now, right? You know, again, definitely not the worst pick in the world, all things considered, even though all the things I just said, I wasn't really super thrilled about it. And I do think that, again, from a strategy standpoint, if he's your guy, I'll say this. Looking at the way the top five picks went, right? Assuming we were still at six, okay? You look at the way the top five picks went, they went very chalk. You know, you got Lawrence at one, Zach Wilson two, Trey Lance at three. Called that, by the way. Told you it wasn't going to be Mac Jones. I told you it was going to be Trey Lance. You're welcome. Kyle Pitts at four, Ja'Marr Chase at five. I think if we stayed at six, maybe Penei Sewell, maybe. But I think the pick, again, the whole time I've had a feeling it was going to be Devontae Smith. I said I would go J.C. Horn. But, you know, if you stay at six, in all likelihood, the way the board fell, you still go Devontae Smith at six. And so essentially what you do is you move back to give up a small price, a pick you didn't even have initially, to move up two spots, add a first rounder in the process from Miami, and still get the guy you were probably going to take at six. Look, man, I got to take my hat off to Howie for that. Props. Because if he was the pick at six, which he likely would have been, now you move back, you get him, and you still come away with a first rounder. That's a fucking win. That's a win. I'm not going to go so far as Reggie Wayne's already out here saying that he's going to be the offensive rookie of the year. I'm not going that far. We don't even, there's still a second round to be, to go through tonight. I'm not going that far. Okay. But you know, if you're in a dynasty league, I definitely think he's somebody to look at. I think he's probably going to be in the conversation. I'm not shoving all my chips to that table because that's such a quarterback award. It's just going to be tough to, unless Devontae Smith comes out and just has a historical season. I would think if you're going to go receiver, I would go Ja'Marr Chase. But anyway, Dallas takes Micah Parsons. The Giants move back. Surprisingly, Dave Gettleman moves back to take Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida. So you have, you know, Washington at 19 takes Jamin Davis, linebacker out of Kentucky. I actually like that pick a lot. You know, it's a bit of it's a high upside pick, right? But that's the area in the draft where you can take those late teens, early 20s, if you really like a guy. I love the Jamin Davis pick by Washington, I'll be honest. You've got, Ron Rivera there and Jack Del Rio. They both played linebacker in the league. Love that pick by Washington. Dallas takes another linebacker in Parsons. Another Penn State guy goes to a team I fucking hate. Wonderful. So, and the Giants take Kadarius Toney. So, out of the NFC East, you have two teams walk away in receivers. Us with Devontae Smith, the Giants, and Kadarius Toney. And then you have the other two walk away with linebackers. Dallas with Micah Parsons and Washington with Jamin Davis. You know, interesting. Interesting for sure. We move up. Dallas moves back. Giants move back. Washington stays put. So at the end of the day, you can say that Howie was the most aggressive in the division, which doesn't necessarily surprise me. And if you look at who is still on the board when that wonderful sound hits us in the face tonight, Justin, this second round. Oh, man. Only two more days left of hearing that. I'm bummed. If you look at who's still on the board at the top of the second round, this draft worked out really well. There was some goofy-ass picks at the end of this first round. Very, very weird. Joe Tryon was the last pick of the night by Tampa, the edge rusher out of Washington. What's the kid that New Orleans took? The edge rusher out of Houston. Peyton Turner, goofy-ass pick. Green Bay's still out here fucking around, not giving Rodgers guys to throw to. They're taking Eric Stokes, corner out of Georgia. There was a lot of strange picks in the middle and the end of the first round, and I think that bodes well for us picking 37th tonight. 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. We got a top five pick tonight. We leapfrog Cincinnati. They pick behind us now at 38 because we finished with that tie. So therefore the rounds alternate. They picked ahead of us last night, we pick ahead of them tonight. Third round they pick ahead of us, so on and so forth. Looking at what's still on the board, there is so much here to love. There is so much here to love, and there's one guy in particular that I'm hoping that we come away with, and I'm shocked that he's still on the board, but just looking at some of the names that I would be ecstatic if they were the pick at 37, there's enough here to where it locks up that somebody's going to fall and be there because, again, top five pick tonight, Christian Barmore, defensive tackle out of Alabama, dominant in the playoff last year, right? A little inconsistent on tape, but dominated against, that elite competition. Elijah Moore, wide receiver out of Ole Miss. A lot of guys thought he was going to be the fourth receiver off the board. I know I did. He seemed like his stock was rising. He's still there at the top of the second round. Do you double down? Do you go another receiver here, right? You got Devontae Smith. You had Jalen Reagor last year. Do you double down at receiver this year with Elijah Moore and just have – a lot of speed out on the perimeter if you're Nick Sirianni, right? Give him more weapons to work with. Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Missouri. Tackling machine. Love that guy. Love his game, what he brings to the middle of a defense. You know, he racked up over 100 tackles with Missouri every year, I believe. Just a guy that, you know, has a nose for the football, as cliche as that sounds, and he's constantly hovering around it. Pat Freiermuth, tight end out of Penn State. You got to have somebody else other than Goddard if Zach Ertz, the rumor is that he's going to be gone during the draft at some point. And if it doesn't happen, again, it didn't happen last night, but he's very much a bargaining chip if how he wants to, you know, get back into the third round tonight or whatever the case may be. I still don't think that Zach Ertz is going to be on this roster, the final 53-man roster, when week one rolls around. I don't. You're going to need somebody else, and there's a couple tight ends later on in the draft, but behind Kyle Pitts is Pat Freiermuth. And after that, there's a drop-off. I like Freiermuth a lot. Again, bias as a Penn State fan, maybe. But I would love the pick. I think he is better than Mike Gesicki was coming out. We've seen what Gesicki's done down in Miami. He's been, you know, very, very solid for them. And he was a second rounder as well. I think Pat Freiermuth is more pro-ready, or more complete, I should say, rather, than Gesicki was when he came out of Penn State. Liam Eichenberg, offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. Love him. He was a tackle at South Bend. Projects probably a little better to guard at the NFL level. And again, with Brandon Brooks being mentioned in trade rumors potentially and having injury history and things like that, I think this offensive line adding some depth along the O-line is not going to be a bad thing at all. You know, if he's there, I'd be happy with that as a pick. Trevon Merrick, safety out of TCU, best safety in the draft, is still on the board. Still on the board. Love this dude's game. Again, Anthony Harris, 1 year, $5 million from Minnesota in free agency. I love that pickup, but it's a one-year deal. It's a one-year deal. Rodney McLeod's going to be a free agent after this year, you know, when he comes off the ACL injury. So at some point, safety is going to have to be a focus. And I love the Kayvon Wallace pick as well last year out of Clemson. He didn't see a ton of playing time last year, but Merrick's a guy. If he's there at 37, he's one of the guys that I would be the happiest with. Him and this next guy. Pops played for the Birds several years ago. Asante Samuel Jr., corner out of Florida State. You cannot poke many holes in this dude's game. You can't. You know, he's maybe a little undersized or whatever the case may be, but he grades out high. There's no holes you can really poke in this dude's game. Whereas you can even poke holes in Pat Surtain's game, in J.C. Horn and things. The guys that got picked last night, again, J.C. Horn can get handsy at times, get a little grabby. That'll draw flags to the next level. Surtain will get burnt deep. You know what I mean? More than once it's happened, and it will happen again at the NFL level. There's nothing wrong with that. But these are dudes that were top 10 picks last night. You can't poke a lot of holes in Asante Samuel's game. He's another guy, one of the main dudes that I would be ecstatic if we walk away from this night with. And the main guy I'm hoping we come away with at pick 37, and I'm shocked, to be honest, that this guy is still there. I don't, you know, and it's funny how it works out, man. I don't think he's going to be available at 37. I'm pretty sure one of the teams picking with the four picks above us is going to snag him. But then again, I thought he was going to be picked in the first round too as well. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, linebacker out of Notre Dame. Shout out to Bethel right up the road. Bethel High, represent. He went to Bethel. I played against Bethel, the school where Allen Iverson went, of all things, you know, high school, and played high school ball there. So, you know, always cool to see a 757 connection, especially against a team that I played against. So, you know, he was one of the top linebackers in the country this past year, right? And we know he can cover. It's surprising as hell to me that he's still there, especially when you look at, you know, Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa, goes 16. The dead middle of the first round of the Arizona Cardinals. You know, that was kind of an off-the-wall pick by Steve Keim, their GM. I like Zaven Collins a lot, but I thought it was a little too high. But I thought if a linebacker was going to go around that range and it wasn't Parsons, that it would be Owusu-Koramoa. And I think that if you're, again, all these dudes are guys that I've got my eye on that I would be thrilled with. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So at least a few of these dudes are going to be there. The last three in particular are guys I look at and go, these are the ones that I absolutely hope for. Trevon Merrick, safety out of TCU, Asante Samuel Jr., corner out of Florida State, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, a linebacker out of Notre Dame. I would take any of them, any of these eight guys we just mentioned, but those are the main three. You know, especially Merrick and Owusu-Koramoah for the value that they offer at the 37th pick. These are dudes that should have been first-round picks. That the fact that they are still there is just so bizarre to me. You know, especially when you look at some of the guys that ended up finding their way into the first round, it just goes to show you at the end of the day, there's always surprises on draft night, and that's why the draft is so great. That's why the draft is so great. It's must-see each and every year if you're a football fan. And even after your team picks, it's still enthralling. I mean, to me, at the end of the day, once your team is out of the way, it's angst up until your team picks, right? Because you have guys that you're hoping that you want to see, you know, the birds take. And but what, man, once we're out of the way, you can just kind of kick back, pour you one, and enjoy it. You know what I mean? And just enjoy the drama that is the NFL draft. And it was enthralling, some of the picks. And tonight's going to be much more of the same. There is a boatload of talent still on the board going into tonight's draft. Rounds 2 and 3, I'm intrigued to see how it pans out. There's still going to be some guys, I'm sure, on the board entering round 4 on Saturday as well. So nothing but good stuff ahead for this weekend. I cannot wait to get to round 2 and 3 tonight. Who do you think the Birds should take? Who do you want Howie Roseman to take at 37? Hit me up at Greasepole Podcast on IG. Let me know your thoughts. Is it one of these dudes? Is it somebody else that you've got your eye on? Let me know. Always curious to get your feedback. And then again, we pick 70th as well tonight in the third round after trading away the 84th pick to move up last night and get Devontae Smith. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Howie packages some of these other picks that are in the back end of this draft. And maybe there's somebody he likes that he sees and he moves back up into the third round. You never know. Stay glued to your television sets tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Can't wait for it. It'll be must-see as it always is. We'll be back here on Monday to chop it up about each and every one of these picks, what I think about them. What do you think about them? Let me know at Greasepole Podcast on IG. Absolutely thrilled for round 2 of the draft tonight. Pour yourself a strong one. I'll see you there. And I'll see you here Monday for episode 53. As always, go Birds.
Yo, how'd Barkley put it? Looking like another Greasepole night in Philly. Philly.
Facts.
Go Birds.
Go Birds! Ah! Oh, okay, yeah!
That would be great.